I'd say Happy New Year, but, well, that would be tomorrow. So, happy December 31st. Yeah. Yes, it is the best December 31st we've had this year. Yeah. You know, one thing that I've noticed about time is that you can't mix the old with the new. You know, just a moment ago, we had something that happened, whatever it was, because that was just life that happened. But you can't take what happened just a moment ago and mix it with what has happened right now. We can't take 2024 and mix it with 2023. We can't take tomorrow and mix it with today. We can't take today and mix it with yesterday. We only have the moment that we have. But it goes in through a lot of life. You know, we cannot mix the new wine with the old wine. The Bible tells us that straight out. You can't mix the old covenant with the new covenant. But we have a tendency to do such a thing. We get people saved by saying you can be who you are, but then we tell them they have to change. Now, God will change you, but we cannot tell you that you have to change. We cannot do that. Paul goes so far as to, when he talks to the Galatians, I don't know if you've ever read the book to the extent of how Paul is actually writing it. But he actually says to them, and these are Christians, because he tells them, my brothers, at the beginning, and he says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you can take the old covenant and mix it with the new covenant? That you can say that you were brought here with the Spirit, but now in order to stay in the Spirit, you have to live in the law. Just read Galatians chapter 3, the first three or four verses, and that's exactly what he says. And yet, that's what we do. And it's not to be. The new has come. The old is passed away. And that's not saying passed away as in the past. That means that the old is dead. In fact, when Christ went on the cross, he crucified it. He killed the old covenant. He did away with it. Hebrews chapter 8 and Hebrews chapter 10 will tell you that. That the old covenant is no longer. Yet, we keep saying, this is what you got to do. But that's not how grace works. I was actually afraid that Terrell was going to go into my entire message. Because it's completely true. When you have grace, you have grace. When you have law, you have law. They do not mix. Because if you take the old and you mix it with the new, you will break the wineskin. So if you look at us as being the wineskins, where we have the Spirit dwelling within us, as the Spirit being the wine, but then you take that wine and you mix in the old covenant with the new covenant, you will break the vessel. They do not mix. But Pastor Corey, it says that we're supposed to follow his commandments. Yes. So when the Spirit talks to you, do what it says. That's how it's supposed to be. It's not about going back into the law and saying, this is what I need to follow. I've told you that before. It's not just about the Ten Commandments. It's 637, is at least, laws that are in the Old Covenant. And if you break one under the law, you break them all. And I've said it before. How many of you have gone out and sacrificed a lamb lately? or a dove or a bull or if you want me to be crass about it, I can also say, how many of you, when you had to go to the bathroom, took a stick and went out into the woods? It's in the law. Seriously, I'm telling you. It's so, some of them are like, what? Well, that was in those days, but that's the law. I want to read to you Philippians chapter 3. Verses 12 to 14. And it says, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. How is it possible to hold on to something that's dead? The old is gone. I forget what it was. I look at it and I'm like, I'm not going to hold on to you no more. I'm going to press on to that which I was called for. And we need to be ready for that. You know, here we are at the end of a year. And I was trying to think, I was like, why do we do this to ourselves? Why do we put time in such a manner that we are starting something new? When you look at the calendars of the world, all of them, they all have different years. In the Jewish calendar, I think we're in somewhere in 5700s somewhere, if I remember correctly. Of course, I might not be remembering correctly. It might be in the 5800s. I don't know. But then somewhere down the line, and it's so hard to actually gauge it, we all of a sudden started to measure it by the what's called the AD calendar, the Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. And so when they first put it together, they said, well, this is the year that the Lord was born, and so we are going to start that at zero. Not realizing that they just added everything wrong, and then the Gregorian calendar comes out, and it turns out that Christ was born somewhere in 4 or 5 BC. So technically, we're 4 or 5 years off of the calendar that we are supposed to be following. Do you see how silly it is? You look at the Jewish calendar. The Jewish calendar, the new year is in September. The Chinese calendar, the new year is in February. Our calendar, the new year is in January. The Ukrainian calendar, I don't know if they still say January 1st is the new year, but January 7th is Christmas. So when is New Year's? Is it the week after Christmas? I don't know. I just don't know. But it's all different. You look at Easter. Easter is really fun because it changes every year. It changes, and the reason it changes is because Easter is the first Sunday after the first full moon, after the first day of spring. That's how they figure out when Easter is. So the earliest you can have Easter is March 22nd, and the latest you can have it is April 24th. That's how it works. But we celebrate it in the Christian calendar as the day that Christ was risen, right? So then if you take the Jewish calendar and you take the Christian calendar, and on certain years, Christ dies before Passover because of how our calendar is situated. So then why do we do this New Year's thing? But lo and behold, here we are. December 31st, 2023. And tomorrow, 2023, is a thing of the past. Tomorrow, today, will be a thing of the past anyways, regardless if it's the new year or not. But because it is, we're going to have massive parties going on tonight There's one at the Legion if you have tickets. There's one at the Galbraith if you're a youth or others. Oh, they're the chaperones, yes. But then you have other parties going around that other people, some people, they celebrate it by sleeping. I was looking forward to that today until we decided to invite people over. So now, more than likely, I will be seeing the New Year turnover. Maybe. Now that I'm in my 50s, things might change. Because I do not look into the past. I look forward to what I have, because the best is yet to come. We forget what is behind and we look forward. However, we need to look back and remember where we have come from. We need to know that. You know, when I start to talk on new things that are in that I'm finding in the Word, and I hear I wouldn't say backlash, but people talk about it and say, well, I just can't grasp hold of that right now. I have to remember, at one time, I was exactly there. And so in the teaching aspect, in the preaching aspect, it has to be from a fact of, you know what, I was there, and so I understand coming into it and saying, I don't know about that. But then I'm also a very logical type person, that once I have discovered something, I assume that everyone will discover the same thing if they go through the same pattern that I do. And that's a difficult position to be in, because I want to show you through everything that I go through how I got to this point from this point, so that you can go from this point to this point. But God doesn't work the same in every single person. And so, even though I went from A to B by going through D and C, maybe you actually go A, B, C, D. And it goes differently. And so that's why we are supposed to be gathering together to encourage one another in our growth, so that we can encourage others to grow as well. Because there are areas in this life that I have to grow in that you can help me. But at the same time, if you turn me off or I turn you off because of something I said or something that you said, then how are we going to encourage one another unless we accept it that it could be different? And that's why I keep telling you that you have, or my faith has absolutely nothing to do with where you are at in Christ. And your faith has nothing to do with where I am at in my walk with Christ. And so when I get up here and talk, I'm talking to you to encourage you to grow. Now, I cannot force you to grow any way particular. I can only give you the options and have you figure it out. That's why I think it's in the book of Romans that it says, work out your own salvation. It's up to us to believe. It's not up to you to believe me. It's up to you to believe the way that you believe. But now I'm getting into next week's message. Yeah, believe it or not. Yeah. At the beginning of the year, literally, on January 1st, 2023, I preached a message titled, A Year of the Good. And here we are on December 31st, 2023, 365 days of the Year of Good. Did you see it? Did you see it? Or did you not? If God is good all the time, then all the time, God is good. But a lot of times, we say that because we were conditioned in the mid-80s. That's when that saying came out. It's not in the Word, but it's the truths are in the Word. But that saying didn't come out until the mid-80s. And all of a sudden, there were songs written about it. And then any time someone stood up front and said, God is good, you would respond. And all the time is how we would do it. But then, a few years ago, I started to challenge that. And I would say, God is good, and all of a sudden the church said, all the time, and I'd say, why? Tell me right now why God is good all the time. Because when we have testimony services, more often than not, it's back to, I'm so glad that God saved me. Okay, that was God being good 30 or 40 years ago, or however many it be. That's not God is good now. And so we need to continually see that God is good all the time. Do we? Psalm 34, verse 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 27, 13, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's not, I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord when I die and go to heaven. That's no, I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Yet I listen to people talk, and I hear that they don't understand that. Because they'll start complaining about the goodness of God. When God blesses a friend, do you tell them how much it's a good blessing that God did? Or do you say, well, I wish I had your luck? When you see someone walking in the goodness of God, do you get jealous? Or do you praise what is going on so that you can experience it as well? God is good all the time. God is best to his children, just like you are. You might have adopted children, but I can tell you, you are better to your kids than you are to the adopted children. I'm not talking about actual physical adoption. I'm talking about those of you who have people who just call you mom and dad, or aunt and uncle, even though they're no relation. God loves his kids. God spoils his kids. I believe it's 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. It says that he richly blesses us so that we can enjoy it. It's not that he blesses us till we have only enough. It's so that he blesses us so that we can richly enjoy it. But then there's the addendum that says, be ready to share. It doesn't say you will share. It says be ready to share. And so when it's all of a sudden, so how do you share if you're only blessed with just enough? You need to be blessed to an abundance so that you can share. Pastor Corey, you're going to prosperity message. Darn right I am. God says I am absolutely in love with blessing my saints to prosperity. He says, the blessings of the Lord maketh you rich, and I don't add any sorrow to it. He's not sorry for blessing his kids. Are you able to receive his blessings? Are you able to receive? I know how much you are ready to give, but are you ready to receive? When someone gives you a gift, do you all of a sudden think, I need to give back? If you do, then you're not ready to receive. You're ready to give. So we need to look at the blessings of the Lord, that he's blessing us because he loves us. And then he uses us to bless others. And the more we bless others, the more he blesses us, so that we can still enjoy it, and so that we can bless more. And it's a continual process. It's better to give than it is to receive. But if all of us had that mentality, none of us would be able to give to anyone. Because nobody would want to receive. So be ready to receive. I am. I have no problem telling you that. I am ready to receive. If you were to hand me $100, I would say, thank you. God is good. How would you react if I gave you $100? You want to say that, but I've done this test many, many times. One of them is sitting right over here laughing at me right now. Because I tested him 4 times before he finally actually received. Because he kept saying, he says, I don't deserve this. I said, yeah, you're right. Here, have it. I don't deserve this. Yeah, you're right. Here, have it. And then he's like, but how do I receive? I said, it's simple. You take it and you say, thank you. But how do you get there? Well, humbly. You know, when we start to walk in the goodness and understand how good things are, and then all of a sudden a wrench gets sent into it, where do you focus? Where do you focus? You know, it's really shocking how little a thing can be that will send you reeling and take you away from the thoughts of the goodness of God. I remember back a year ago, I was at the grocery store, standing in line, and I said to the person says to me, how are you? And I said, I am well, as is my typical response. And then I said, how are you? They said, well, I'm all right, but it's so cold. And it got me thinking how easy it is for a simple thing like the weather to determine whether we are good or bad. You hear it all the time from up here. Wow, it's cold up out there. I'm so glad you showed up. Look at this weather. Today, it's, my goodness, it's so sunny out. It's such a good day. This is the day the Lord has made. That doesn't mean only the sunny days. I will choose to rejoice and be glad in it. You know, wrenches happen to all of us, and not all of us can all of a sudden ignore the wrench. And sometimes we focus on that. I do the same thing. I'm getting better at focusing on the good, recognizing that God is good all the time and all the time that God is good. But still, that wrench happens, and all of a sudden it's like, oh. Especially when it's a wrench in my back. So when you reflect on the year, how did you do in seeing the goodness of God? It's easy to look back because hindsight is 2023. But how are you at looking at that? How were you during it to see the goodness of God? How are you now looking back at it? Because, you know, we like to quote Romans chapter 8 verse something that says that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord, for those who are called to his purpose. But it's really hard when you're going through it to see how is this working out. And so when we go through these things, can you maintain your focus and see that which we were called for? And focus on that. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, says that you need to get rid of the sin and the stuff that easily entangles. It's not the sin that entangles. It's the stuff that entangles. But you have to get rid of the sin as well. But the next verse, you maintain your focus on Jesus Christ. He's the author. He's the perfecter of our faith. He went through bad stuff. He went through bad stuff that he didn't want to go through. But for the joy that was set before him, he decided, I'm going to endure the cross, ignoring its shame. Why? To bless you. That's it. He did it all to bless you. Did he do it for your salvation? Yes. But he did it for a lot more than that. A lot more than that. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now this is the story of Israel. And if you remember, Israel was told that they were going to be led out of Egypt and brought to the Promised Land. And so they went up through Egypt, and if you read that story, it's just amazing. Because they go through this process of following what God said to a T, and then when they got to the point where they were leaving, God said, you know what? I'm going to bless you even more, and I'm going to allow you to plunder Egypt that you've been in slavery for 450 years, that they don't even want you to leave, but I'm going to let them let you leave, and I'm going to let you take everything from them, all their gold, all their possessions, all their crops, all their cattle, and I'm going to take you to the Promised Land. So they did. They didn't do anything for it. They just took it. Then as they're walking, it says that for 40 years, there was not one that was feeble among them, meaning that they had complete healing through the entire time that they were walking in the desert. Now, that wasn't God's plan to lead them to the desert. It was God's plan to lead them to the Promised Land. And then he said, choose for you 12 people who are going to go into the land of Canaan and spy it out. And they go into the land of Canaan and they spy it out. 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad. 2 were good. What did they see when they went to Canaan? 10 were bad. 2 were good. Some saw, is it giants first or grapes first? Giants, big and tall. Some saw clusters of grapes fall, because it rhymes. 10 were bad. 2 were good. Those 10 people saw the exact same thing as the 2 people. They saw the giants who were tall. And they said, we felt like we were grasshoppers in their eyes, and so we are, because they're so tall. And the 2 said, yes, there are giants, and we are small with these giants. But look at the blessings that God has told us we're going to have. All we have to do is take a step across. That's all we have to do. God says he will fight our battle. He will destroy the enemy. He will drive them out of that land so that we can have all that abundance plus all the abundance that we just took from Egypt. Are you catching this? But what did they decide to do? The democratic way. They said, let's follow the 10. And for 40 years, they wandered in that desert. But they were provided for every day with food and water. They were provided for that their sandals never wore out, their clothes never wore out. God was still mad at them. God was still mad at them because he said, this generation is going to pass away before you guys cross over that 40 years. And then at that 40-year point, it says this in Deuteronomy 8, verses 6 to 18. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose lands you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, just think of all the blessings that these guys are getting just for taking a step. Now, I did say a little bit wrong. This is not after the wilderness. This is before. But the whole promise was the same. The land did not change in 40 years. Then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you and do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and my strength of my hand made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. And you know what? We don't deserve it. The Israelites didn't. Think about it. They didn't do a thing that God told them to, except wander. They didn't do it. And yet, they went into the promised land and got all these blessings to such an extent that they forgot that God gave it to them. Like he promises, he says, you're going to go into the promised land, you're going to live in houses that you didn't build, you're going to have vineyards that you did not plant, and these vineyards are going to have grapes that you can't even carry. Think of it. The grapes we know are this big. Their clusters are this big. The grapes they got to have were this big. Because even two men could not carry it between them. Think on that. They go into this whole place that's prepared for them, that has absolute blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And God says, do not forget that I brought you here. Do not get so proud and haughty that it's like, well, look at what I did. That's why it's so hard when someone says to me, says, yeah, well, you get those blessings because, and then they put a thing there. I'm blessed because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed because I chose to believe that God blesses his children. Because you look at Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 3 to 6. Know therefore today that it is the Lord your God who is crossing over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them, and he will subdue them before you, so that you may drive them out and destroy them quickly, just as the Lord has spoken to you. Do not say in your heart, when the Lord your God has driven them out before you, that it's because of my righteousness the Lord has brought me into the possess this land, but it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is dispossessing them before you. It is not for your righteousness or for the uprightness of your heart that you are going to possess their land, but it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God is driving them out before you in order to confirm the oath which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Know then, it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this good land to possess, for you are a stubborn people. It has nothing to do with what you do. God wants to bless you. All you need to do is take the step. All you need to do. Because he goes before you. He destroys them so that as you take your step, you drive them out. It's not for your righteousness that he's doing this. It's because he is a loving father, full of grace, full of favor, full of blessings, and his blessings maketh you rich, and he doesn't add any sorrow to it. All you need to do is believe. I have a feeling that there are some that are saying here, but I do believe. Let me ask you something. Do your actions prove your belief or disprove it? Do the words you speak prove your belief or disprove it? God's blessings don't come because of your righteousness. I would say that most of us are like the Israelites. Guess what? We are a stubborn people. If you don't believe that, ask your spouse or your parents or your kids. Most of us, just like the Israelites, we don't know which way to go. Doesn't matter. Take a step. His word is a light unto your feet, and a light to your path. So there's a path, there's my feet, take a step. If this room was completely dark and I had a flashlight, I can guarantee you that I wouldn't see outside. Sounds like we heard that before. Where did that come from? No, it's not. That would have been awesome if that would have been in there, but no, it wasn't. You added that to me. Thank you. The other thing that we're like the Israelites is that we are looking for answers but not really wanting to know. Ouch. We are looking for answers, but we don't really want to know. That hurts. But I want the blessings of God. And God says, then do this. I don't want to do that. Okay. God's blessings flow so that his glory is seen. The only reason that you are a child of God is so that his glory can be seen in you. How can he take a drunkard and all of a sudden say, I want you as my child? How can he take any of us who are sinners and just say, want you for my child. I want to bless you. I want to see you and see you enjoy the blessings of God, the goodness of God in the land of the living. I want to see you do this. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7. Everyone who is called by my name, who here is called by his name? All of us. All of us are called by his name. And whom I have created for my glory. Why were you created? For his glory. You weren't created to worship God. You were created for his glory. You are named for his glory. You are blessed for his glory. Why would we ever reject his blessing if all we are created to do is give him glory? Why would we curse someone else walking in the blessing when that blessing is for God's glory? Why would we tell someone that they are not, that is not God's glory, it is not God's favor, but it's just how life happens, when it's actually because of God's glory? We should be walking in the blessings of God so that his glory is seen more and more. And then we walk more and more in his blessings so that his glory can be seen more and more. But we reject it. If he doesn't add sorrow to his blessings, Proverbs 10:22 is that verse, the blessings of the Lord maketh you rich. And he doesn't add any sorrow to it. If he doesn't add sorrow to it, why do we? Why are we sorry that we're walking in the blessings of God? Why are we jealous when someone isn't, when we should be pursuing it? But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore. If you remember anything about that whole covenant thing, God swore. Abraham didn't. Abraham didn't do a thing. All he did, he believed. And God counted it to him as righteousness. So with all this said, I would like to give opportunity to you to reflect on 2023 and the goodness you have seen. It's up to you. The closing of the service happens when you're done.
Who's going to raise their hand? Who's going to make me pick them out? Okay.
We had some facts come into our life that say things unwell, unhealthy, bad. You've all had them, health reports. They come across your desk and they say this is what it is. And then you walk out every day and you walk out a miracle. And I see it every day. And that's it.
It can be hard to share a personal without going into details, but amen to that.
well, for me, there's been a lot of miracles, a lot of changes. So this one just happened recently and really, really opened my eyes. When I was coaching at Zones this year, I was praying. I guess it was the last practice we had, and usually it's pretty emotional for me. But I was sitting there, and I asked God to show me something good just once for coaching. So I was standing on the stage, and I looked back as the kids were playing, hitting the ball, and time froze. And I don't know, like I was talking to Corey about this, and time froze. And then I looked at the other side, and the kids were standing still. Time froze. So I was like, this is very, very weird. This never happened to me before. So when we were playing on that weekend, we played in their final tournament for Zones, and we were up against a good team, and they beat us in round robin, and then we played them in the final game. But before the final game, I went and said a speech that I haven't said before that I wrote coming back from New York, that I wrote, and it matched there. So we played, and we played very well. We lost. We won the first set 25-12, lost the second set 27-25, lost 17-15. Yeah. So anyways, besides losing, I grabbed the boys before they even started getting emotional, went to the room, and I said a speech and said some words in the God's name. And we had our wind-up a week later. And we were standing around, I was talking to the parents, and they were naming everything we did wrong, everything that went wrong that we saw. And I'm looking at them, and I'm like, but I said, I saw the good plays. And I was explaining every good play we did. And they looked at me like, what? I said, that's where I was in that time, and that's where I've been ever since. He opened my eyes to only see good. And I look around, and I see good. And I'm so blessed to see that, and I don't know what kind of miracle he gave me, but that's all I've been seeing lately. I look around and I just see good. It's hard to see bad. And that's my testimony for what he's shown me this year.
Yeah, that's a revelation that can't be undone. That's awesome.
Well, I just thank the Lord. I just thank the Lord that we could come to this church and to this family of believers just about every Sunday of last year. And I know we've had difficulties in our families too, but as they said, look for the good. And yesterday we had a little bit of fun, Charlie and I, because we have a few chickens and he had to make chop. Okay, so he has his John Deere tractor that he's got to start, you know, to get the chopper going. And anyway, he could not get it started. And he could not get it started, so I made dinner, and he still didn't get it started. Anyway, he went to lay down for a while. He was getting played out. And he had a little, I'm not sure if it was a vision or the Lord just spoke to him. He told him what to do. He went out there and did it. In 15 minutes, he had it started. So you see, we had not good for quite a while. And sometimes we will have not good in our lives. But you just hang on to the Lord. And I had prayed, Lord, if you want us to chop today, you'll make that thing go or it won't go. So you have to accept that as fact. And I still believe the Lord. But he made it go. So take the good, leave the bad.
Do not underestimate the power of rest. You can stay there and get frustrated with it for hours on end, or you can say, okay, Lord, I'm going to rest. Seriously, life's problems. Rest it out with God.
This summer when we were in Newfoundland, we enjoyed a great summer there, a wonderful summer, but George got sick and had an episode at the end that indicated that we needed to come home sooner. And I don't know how many of you have flown the last few years. And yeah, the planes are not always on time, and there's delays, and there's long distances to go. to get from plane to plane. And I was concerned about getting, got to get him, he's sick, he's not able to make it. I'll need help. And I had offers of my brothers and sisters to come with me. I said, no, we're going to be okay. It's going to go good. You know, we got on the plane and we never had such a good trip for years. We never made it 5 minutes for a plane. It was on time. We had assistance to help us every step of the way. And we could just, it was so peaceful, the whole trip. Because we know that we had committed it to God, and God was going to do what he needed to do to get us back home safely.
I know in the past few years, it's been kind of hard for me to open up. I've done a lot. And this past year, actually, somebody had told me that since we've been doing our Bible study, I have grown a lot in the Lord. I have learned to try and put what hurts me the most, which is losing my dad and losing both my kids in my life. But I've learned to, in this past year, to kind of put it towards God and know, let him help me deal with it. And that's another thing that kind of puts the bad to the good. Because I have been in bad times, and I've been, this year I've been looking towards the good.
I'm little. I'm very thankful for God, mostly because I asked. This is actually really funny, okay? I asked God, I think around the beginning of the year, for more friends who believed in Jesus, and I was not expecting him to send me children. So, all of my friends are children, but, you know, it's good because in a way I get to almost help them the way that I wish someone would help me. So, yeah, I guess it's kind of, God works in weird ways. It's not always how you expect it to be.
It's never how you expect it to be, almost. God's way. Gotta love it.
God's way in God's time, isn't it? I remember praying for my girls. I still do. And never, you know, when they're in high school and junior high, and you're going, please, Lord, don't let me be a grandmother before 50. I'm going to be a grandmother before 50, but I also have a wonderful son-in-law that we are so blessed with. And he loves his girl. And he's going to love his baby. And we love him.
Pam will never look 50. Well, if you're still thinking about it, I mean, I could sit up here and... I don't hold back my blessings from this church. A lot of you will hear about all my blessings in my various sermons because, you know, it says in the Bible, it's not to brag, it's not to boast, but to boost your faith. It's just like Corey said... You can sit back and say, I'm saved, that's all I need. And you know what? If that's who you are, that's who you are. But that doesn't give you the right to judge other people's blessings as not God. Okay? Luck does not exist. Chance does not exist. Do you know, in the if you don't know, I'm actually a volunteer firefighter, and in it's actually a law now, we are not allowed to use the word accident. Because whenever you use the word accident, that implies a couple things. Number one, somebody did something they shouldn't have done. And number two, someone's definitely at fault. We use the term for vehicles, collision. Because that's the definite. Something collided. Okay? Yes, I believe every accident is preventable. But if you believe in chance, you believe in luck, then you have to, by default, believe in a force behind it. Well, who caused this? Was it the good side or the bad side? Was it God or Satan? Well, right away, that takes away the element of chance because it was an intention. If your blessings happen, give glory to God. It is not about chance. It is not about luck. And if you are cursing somebody's blessings by calling that luck and then wondering why you're not getting that in return, remember, you will be judged how you judge others. That can be harsh, but it starts with acknowledgement. In all things, give thanks to God. In all things. Amen? Okay, anyone else? Anyone?
I am actually very grateful for 2023. I have actually learned, lost. Thank you. I've actually learned, lost, loved everything under the sun. But I sat one day looking at the dark side. I'm like, why? And then I saw somewhere it was like, ask God why he challenged you. Oh, man, that was awesome. And I'm grateful for 2023. I've learned. I'm grateful. And I'm also grateful for Taylor and Arlene for bringing me here.
Yeah. Yeah, you're never too old to learn, that's for sure. You can be 98 years old, you're still learning. Never stop and say, I have it all. Anyone else?
I was supposed to talk a few weeks ago, but that didn't happen. And I had lots of things to say. And I hate talking because I get so emotional. But I have been blessed in many ways. I have a new grandma and grandpa over there because I adopt everybody. I have two beautiful girls sitting in our corner over there, Jen and Corey, and everybody in here. The first person that I will never forget came to me was Golda and hugged me and said, I am so happy to see you here, and you are always welcome. Thank you, Golda. When we were in New York, we were blessed to go to New York, and we were in worship, and it was so amazing to be up front and to listen, and I had my hands behind my back, and I was hanging on to my hands, and it was like, from my elbows to my fingers, like I was shocked by something. Something just went through my body. And I looked around, I thought, is Mike touching me, or did somebody, you know, or whatever, and there was nothing around me to have that go through my body. To have the faith and the belief that I have had over the last year is amazing. And I am very blessed to be in this building with all of you. Oh, and the other thing that got me when I was supposed to speak, we did the song, I Am a Child of God. I never ever thought that I was righteous enough to step through those doors. So when I sit here and I sing that, I am a child of God and I deserve to be here.
Absolutely. And if you're ever feeling low, no one hugs quite like Golda. I tell her that every time. Well, I have been blessed immensely this year by my family. When I was a bachelor, living on pizza and toast, I was in love with a girl, but she didn't love me back. And so one day I'm laying in bed at night and God says, I want you to pray and ask for your wife. And I did. And I had known Charmin at the time, but like we were friends, we were in the same church and everything, but God had me describe my wife to a T. Like physically, emotionally, psychologically, everything about her, and everything manifested in Charmin, and that's how that came about. But This year, God has blessed me by having a wife that has started really calling me out on, what's the holy way to say BS? I'll just go with that. And challenging me to move past preconceptions, and it's not easy. Oy, it's not easy. And it's not always met with thankfulness and a smiling husband, but I'm very, very blessed indeed. I am blessed with my youngest daughter, Abigail, who somehow was turning out just like me. It took three tries. All my kids have such amazing personalities, but Abigail and I have this way to communicate that no one else understands, and it's really like kind of like my morning cup of coffee whenever I talk to her. I'm blessed by a son who decided to be taller than me this year, who is forming into such a man. His kindness is the only thing that eclipses his height. He despises injustice. He does not like to see lack and want in people. It grieves him, much as it grieves me. But his heart, softness is never weakness. Softness is not weakness. I want that very understood. He is so strong, he can exhibit his vulnerabilities without fear. Does that make sense? I'm blessed with Sierra, who was born with such talent. I have no idea where it came from. I am not talented in creativity. Sharma is not talented in creativity the way she is talented and gifted with creativity. She can look, you can look at something and see what it is. She will always look at something and see what it can be. And I'm talking painting. I'm talking drawing. I'm talking sculpting. I'm talking, well, I won't say all of it because I'm not allowed to say all of it. What's that? I'm talking people? Help me out here. What do you mean? She sees what can be. And if you ever need a fighter in your corner, she will never sit by and let somebody else get treated like crap. She will never sit by when somebody else is suffering. And how many of us will always look the other way? When you walk down the street, you see a woman yelling at her kids, or you go to Walmart, you see a man mistreat his wife. How many of us always look the other way because that's none of my business? I tell you, this kind of stuff bothers that girl to no end. If you ever need a fighter in your corner, God, stop growing her to certain heights, he said. She can take on the whole world at this height. And I absolutely love her. Anybody else? All right, then I wish you a very God-filled, happy New Year's. May every day be a new day. When we come back 366 days from now, we will look back at everything 2024 was, including that weird extra day that no one understands. We're going to put some coffee on, stay and mingle if you want. If you want prayer, if you need a word, if you need anything, come see us. God bless y'all.